Good morning.
Morning, Chris.
Well, as you've probably heard, we're going to do prayer everywhere. that's what we're calling this whole series that we're going to do about prayer, which will take various forms. And Maureen's smiling now because she can see that the background of this picture up there is Singapore, which is where we just went along. But don't let that disturb you. They are rather strange eggs, I know. Anyway, we had a series of readings this morning, none of which I'm going to preach about. You'll be glad to know. But I'm just going to say that the first one about Samuel was all about hearing God, listening to God's voice, okay? And isn't it interesting that it finished on the word tingle? Going to make, you know, what God does is going to make your ears tingle. I thought that was fantastic. Anyway, let alone that one. And then the other two readings, one of which was Jesus calling his disciples, but the whole point of that reading was that he spent probably all night in prayer first before he took the decision, which of the 120 am I going to choose the 12? You know, so he got all these disciples, 120 of them or whatever it was, and he chose the 12. And he spent all night with his father deciding which ones they were going to be. And then, of course, we have the really well-known passage about going into your room, getting alone with God and praying just between you and God knowing exactly what you need before you even ask him. But we're not going to sort of focus on any of those this morning. What we're going to do is we're going to go right back to the beginning of Pete Gregg's book, which is the very basics of prayer. And I'm going to try and interpret those as best I can and distill lots and lots of pages into just a few sermon words. And then we're going to go on to the very first bit of the sort of series, which is pause. Okay? So that's what we're going to do this morning. So hopefully, this is quite a busy slide, but the whole question arises as to why do we actually pray? Why do we pray? And Pete Gregg sort of suggests that it's actually probably in our nature. Okay, and if you think about it, who created you?
God.
Thank you. Who created you? God, yes. And he created you in his likeness and in his image, didn't he? Yes, Chris, he did. Yes. So, if he did that, then it's in your nature to be like him, isn't it? To want to talk to him, to want to relate to him, to want to pray. Yeah. But there's lots of reasons that people pray. And often you hear people on the battlefield, for instance, who just in desperation shout, God, save me. If you do this, I'll go to church every day the rest of my life. That sort of prayer. And people pray in desperation, in disaster, don't they? Get me out of this. Get me out of this. God, help me. They cry for help. You hear a lot about that. That's when people turn to God. They've never been to God before in their lives, but God, help me. I don't know where else to go. It's a prayer, isn't it? And some people find that they get so low and so down to the bottom, they have nowhere else to turn. And that's when sometimes people turn to God, isn't it? And they say, oh, Lord, can you do anything about my life? Can you do anything about this situation I'm in? There's also very standard things like remembrance, aren't there? Where we go and we stand at the cenotaph and we remember all those who've given their lives and so forth. And we remember those killed in disasters and those of our family who've died and so on. We have remembrance book at the back of church. That's a prayer, isn't it? It's all about prayer, remembrance before God. And then there's the why me, Lord, prayer, isn't there? I used to know a guy at work, and when anything went wrong, he wasn't a Christian, he'd say, oh, why me, Lord? Why has it gone wrong for me again? It's a prayer. He didn't realise he was praying, but he was. Why me? And then, you know, they're sort of, hello, it's me again, God. Hello. Can you hear me? Are you listening? You know, perhaps lying in bed or something, wondering what the next day is going to bring, all nervous about it, going to an interview or something. But then there is the whole moment that Jesus said that we should pray, didn't he? Jesus taught his disciples to pray. He said, you know, this is how you pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, so on, so on, so on. He taught us how to pray. He wanted us to pray. And of course, there is the whole business about love, where God, you know, we're told you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And you can't do that and love your neighbour as yourself if you're not praying, because it's all about relationship to God. And you can't relate. You've got to love somebody you don't relate to, can you? If you're not relating to them, if you're not talking to them, how can you possibly love them? That's about prayer, isn't it? So why do we pray? Lots and lots of reasons, aren't there? But it's important. And we all do it. And many of us don't even realise we're doing it. So where should we pray? Should we only pray in here? We should pray everywhere, anywhere. You know, when you are younger, you think the place to pray is by your bed, don't you, sometimes? Get down on your hands and knees by your bed. Thank you, God, for mummy and daddy. That kind of prayer. Sometimes we carry that over into adulthood. We think the only place we can pray is when we go to sleep at night in our bed, by our bed. But it's not. Sometimes we have a favourite chair, don't we? Especially when you get older, you have a favourite chair by a sunny window. You can tell I'm getting older. And you think, and that's where you sit, and you know, I have my tea in the morning, I sit in my chair, half an hour of communication with the Lord. But you don't have to do it there, you can do it anywhere. You might do it when you go out running. A lot of people go out running these days. You see them going along the canal where we live. Well, it's a great time to pray, and a lot of people do pray when they go out running. Or go out walking the dog. I think the vicar does this. He goes out praying when he walks a dog. I do. If I'm on my own with a dog walking somewhere, I'll be praying to the Lord. It's a great time to do it. And then I can remember when I used to go to work and spend an hour getting there, an hour coming back in the car. That was when I used to pray. Loads of time. What do I do with it all? Listen to the radio, listen to music, listen to worship songs. What about talking to God? Got loads of time. Talk to God. People are looking in the car and think you've gone mad. And you can't close your eyes when you pray, when you're driving. But it's the time to pray, isn't it? There's loads of time to pray. We can pray everywhere, anywhere, doing the washing up. Whenever there's time, when we're doing something, and there's just nothing else we can do at the same time, you can pray. So how do we pray? Now I put a little lozenge up there, look. Ask thanks, say sorry, praise. Is it in the right order?
No.
What should be the order then?
Praise.
Then what?
Sorry.
Thank you.
Thanks. Then sorry. Then ask. Then what?
Listen.
Then what? Possibly listen before ask. Then praise again. It's a bit like the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? Goes through like that sort of sequence. One of the things about praying is that God doesn't want us to be using these sort of posh words. Well, you can if you want, if you're posh. But God wants you to keep it real. He wants it to be about you and your relationship with Him. Okay? So, keep it real. Keep it honest. Tell him what you think. argue with him if you want to. I had a period in my life where I spent ages arguing with God when I was younger, trying to get myself straightened out. Keep it simple. Don't go into great ramification. Jesus said, God knows what you want before you ask him. Just keep it simple. When you talk to God, just say what you think. That's what he wants. He wants to know you. And he wants you to know him. Because he knows all about you. He can see your insides from your outsides. Your thoughts before you think them. But you don't know him. And it's a getting to know him process. So be honest, be real, and be regular about it. If you're not talking to somebody day by day by day, several times a day maybe, how are you going to build a relationship with that person? You don't get to know them, do you? So if you love God and you want to love God more, then you've got to relate to him, you've got to talk to him. Pete Gregg suggests that we do it morning, lunchtime, and night as a discipline. But you should do it all the time throughout the day. Paul says, pray constantly, doesn't he? Pray constantly. Whatever you're doing, wherever you are, pray. Talk to God. Bring God into it. But keep it straightforward. Keep it honest. Keep it real about yourself. And then we got to this whole point of, okay, we're talking to God, but who are we talking to? We're talking to God, the Almighty, the amazing, awesome God who created everything, the fantastic God, the God that is beyond anything we can imagine, the all-powerful. And this God is where the book stops. You hear people say, it's his fault. It's God's fault. I don't believe anymore. Of course it's God's fault. That's where the book stops. God is in total control. Want to know where the book stops? God. And he's not ashamed of it. He is more than we can imagine or think. We just need to get in touch with him. We just need to relate to him. And he is more real than our reality. So all this around us, who created it? Exactly. He is more real than what we are seeing around us. God can take it. Okay? Whatever you want to throw at God, whatever you want to blame him for, he can take it. Because he is God. And this is the God that we pray to. The God who can answer. The God who can change things because of our prayer. That's who we pray to. An amazing God. So, we get now to the very end of my sermon, which is all about the first step of prayer, which Pete Gregg takes the word prayer, and he takes, pray, and the first word, the first letter is P, for pause. Yeah? It's quite simple stuff, really. So what God wants us to do is get into a quiet zone, right? He wants us to be still. So whatever you're doing, wherever you go for your prayer, even if it's driving or running or whatever it's doing, you need to come to that place of pause where you stop before God, in your mind, if you like, in your soul. You come to that place. You stand in the middle of the battlefield with your sword, and instead of fighting, you put it by your side and you are still. Be still and know that I am God. That's what that means. Let me fight the battle all around you. This is a place of pause that we must get to, a place where we can center ourselves on God. A place where we can sort of know that we can listen, to start opening our spiritual ears. Because it's so hard, like Samuel found, it's so hard to know who's talking to you. Is it my thoughts? Am I thinking? Or is it God talking to me? We need to get to a place where we can rest our souls before God in a place of pause and quiet, where we can say, my ears are open and I can hear God talking. When I ask him something, I'm going to get an answer. I'm going to hear what he has to say to me. I'm going to hear the stillness. I'm going to hear the holiness. I'm going to hear the quietness of God's heart. I'm going to hear the still small voice. So, we must let God speak. Very often we rush on in our prayers, and the first thing we do is ask for a whole myriad of stuff. What Pete Gregg says is, pause. Before you ask for anything, why don't you just start to listen? So that when you do ask, you can hear. How about that? Isn't that interesting? Yes, Chris, that is interesting. I think we should be listening. Good. I like the little chap with his hands on his ears in that picture. Just sums it up, doesn't it? Open your spiritual ears. Stop your soul. Still yourself. Go into a quiet zone and let God speak. At the end of the chapter on pause, he quotes lots of fathers of the desert. And these were guys who, in the early church, ran off into the desert to be as alone as they could with God. And to just still themselves before God and try and get away from all the things that went on in the world and be sort of alone with God in the desert somehow. And one of these desert fathers was called Anthony, and he said this: wherever you go, keep God in mind. Whatever you do, follow the example of Holy Scripture. Wherever you are, stay there and do not move away in a hurry. Now, if you put that into your pause, in your time of pause, wherever you go, wherever you are, keep God in mind. Pause. Get God in your mind. Whatever you do, in your pause, consider what is in the Bible, what God says about himself, what is flowing through your soul from the scripture that you may have read. And do not move away in a hurry. Stay there and wait for God to speak. That's pause. Amen.